Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24, verses 10 through 12. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people, and David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say to David, Thus says the Lord, three things I offer you, choose one of them, that I may do it to you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm thankful to see each and every one of you. You know, there are several who are visiting with us. It wasn't mentioned, but I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't taken the liberty of doing it, you can fill out one of the yellow cards in front of you, the visitor card. We'd appreciate that. It would give us a record of your attendance, but it also give us confidence that we gave you an opportunity to make any need you might have known. Maybe you have interest in a Bible study. Maybe you had a question about the service this morning. Maybe you would like or need to meet with the elders for some reason. You can indicate that. Also, if you'd like a home Bible study or a correspondence course sent to you, you can indicate that on the yellow card as well and encourage you to do that. If you were listening to the reading this morning, we took the reading from 2 Samuel chapter 24. Many of us probably know the scene there or the setting. Basically, what's happened is toward the end of David's life, he decides he wants to number the people of Israel. However, he's not been told to do that. There's no command. There's no authorization. There's no prior consent by God. And so he just takes it upon himself to number the people. He realizes once he's confronted that that was the wrong thing to do. It was sinful. And so we find an interesting occasion where, as we draw our attention back to verse 12, God says, I offer you three things. Choose one. Now, the three things are laid out in verse 13. A first choice. Now, see if you like these choices. 7 years of famine will come to you in the land. Choice, or what's behind curtain number two. Shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? How's that sound? Choice number two. All right, what do you have behind curtain number three? Or shall there be 3 days plague in your land? David, you sinned, and I'm going to give you three choices as to how I punish you for that. Interesting. I'd like to think about that and think about how we choose our consequences. He told David, choose your consequence. Choose your punishment. You sin, I'll give you the choice. Pick one of three. Now, it might not necessarily work out exactly like that in our own lives, but I do believe we choose our consequences. There was a man by the name of Robert F. Bennett. He was a writer and a politician from a century gone by. And he said this, quote, Your life is the sum result of the choices you make. If you can control the choosing, you will control the consequences. Powerful, powerful, succinct statement. Kind of like what we see here, choosing your consequences. You know, first thing that we note is there are natural consequences to life. I think about Eutychus. Y'all remember Eutychus? Eutychus fell asleep during the preaching. Hello? Don't fall asleep during the preaching. That's one thing we learned from Eutychus. He was on the third story window. Preaching was going on. It was late in the day. Presumably, he had worked that day, and the preaching began late in the evening. He probably had a full belly. And he fell dead out of the third story window during the preaching. That's a natural consequence. You fall out a third story window and the law of inertia comes into play after the law of gravity takes effect, and that's just a natural consequence. This happens all the time. Gravity is a natural consequence. I think about this. When I was a kid, I don't know, this might date me, but I remember watching Evel Knievel. I remember it came on television and it was 2 hours of hype and 5 minutes of him jumping over something. And I remember watching this, and I remember one, and it still stands out to me. He had jumped over something. I don't remember, 14 buses or 37 airplanes. I don't know what it was. But he jumped up one ramp, over the other ramp. He hit the bottom of the ramp. And in the way he hit it, his motorcycle broke in half and he came off of it. And he looked like a rag doll, just flipping over and over and over. And I could just still see the image of him just flipping, flipping. And actually went back into a little, what looked like a dressing room area or a backstage area. He just flipped all the way through there. And they showed that replay. Oh, man. But you know, if you get a motorcycle as fast as it'll go and jump over 37 buses, again, law of inertia and gravity, they collide, and it's just not pretty. Those are natural consequences. In other words, the choices we make may result in natural consequences. You know, I didn't have the heart to say this, and I will display more of my personality than I ought. But one time, someone came to me and asked me the question, and I'm paraphrasing it because I don't remember the exact question, but they basically asked, how come God took my daddy? The particular person's daddy was about 400 pounds, and he pretty much ate whatever he wanted in grave quantities, no pun intended, and he died of a massive heart attack. Now, if you eat fried chicken and Oreos with every meal, I mean, who doesn't know that you might have a heart attack? That would be a natural consequence of a choice. If you choose to smoke two packs of Camel Filterless every day of your life, you might get lung cancer. These are some natural consequences. You can probably think of all sorts, and you might say, Joe, you done moved from preaching to meddling in my diet. No, I'm just saying, if you do certain things, there are natural consequences. Now, I don't want to talk anymore about natural consequences. That's all I got to say about that. I want to spend most of my time on the next two. There are unintended consequences. In other words, David was told, choose. You've sinned. I'll give you three choices. And we read them. They're not very good choices. But he had to pick one. And so here is his dilemma. Choose your consequence. We do that too. Naturally, you know, by a whole host of factors. You know, if you do this, you get a natural consequence. But then we have some that have unintended consequences. That means I did something, but I didn't intend the consequence I received. You remember Achan? We talked about that a little bit in the Bible class this morning. In Joshua 22 and verse 20, it says that he did not die alone. It says this man did not perish alone for his iniquity. What did that mean? Well, you know, here's Achan. He's a regular person. Probably, we don't know, but I would say he was just average. He probably wasn't well-to-do necessarily or part of even the leadership within the various clans or families of Israel. Don't know the particulars. But here he saw among the spoils a Babylonian garment and such and such amount of monetary gold and these things. And he saw him, his Babylonian garment. I'm sure it was much more ornate and beautiful than the garment he had. And so he took it. You think he ever thought, they're going to kill me and my whole family because I took some of this pretty stuff and kept it for myself and hid it under my tent? You think he ever thought that'd be the consequence? Now, you might could argue, yes, he thought that would happen. I don't think so. I mean, I think that if he thought about all the consequences, he probably wouldn't have done it. See, there are a lot of unintended consequences that are tied to our choices. Another example is David. Here was David seeing a beautiful woman, a woman who incidentally had a husband, and he desired her. We look in chapter 11 and 12 of 2 Samuel. He just had to have her, get her, I want her. Do you think he thought, and it's just me, do you think he thought, I bet she'll get pregnant, I bet that child will die, and I bet this troubles my house, causes a civil war, basically, in Israel between me and my son, and I'll have all these problems, one son will murder another, and one son will rape another, and I bet that's going to happen, so let's jump between the sheets. No, I don't think he thought about the unintended consequences. Are y'all seeing the application? You know, as I think about that, there are all sorts of things. Go over to the book of Proverbs with me. What about my unintended consequences for choices I might make? You know, I remember being a young man, and it's so weird how you choose your friends as a young person. You know how I chose my friends? Proximity. Anybody follow me? Proximity. My best friends were my neighbors on one side and then the one two doors down. Those were my best friends. How come? Proximity. They lived right there. I mean, we could pick up a game of pick up football or pick up basketball, and we became friends all through elementary school and junior high, and later I moved away, but I came back, and we went to high school together, and we were friends. Why? Well, I didn't just test their character. I didn't, you know, have any discrimination of anything to do with anything. They just lived next door. As we look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, we're cautioned about choosing friends. It says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Be careful who your friends are and how you choose your friends. You know, if we have bad company, we're told, it'll corrupt our good morals. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, if memory serves me. So we don't intend the consequence is, hey, you know, I'm going to be exposed to this thing. I'm going to end up going to this party or having this influence or go down this road. I didn't intend that when I picked Jimmy to be my friend. Jimmy just had a pool. You know, Jimmy just had a four-wheeler and I didn't. Bob down the street, he's got a pool table, so he's my friend. And that's all I thought about. I didn't think, are they ever going to get me in trouble? Guess what? Some of them did. I mean, seriously. Why? I didn't think about the unintended consequences of choosing them. I didn't think about that. There are unintended consequences when we choose our friends or when we choose our spouse. Think about that. You know, I've mentioned this before in other lessons, kind of alluded to this as we talked about the subject in the past. But oftentimes people just look at appearance. How'd you pick your spouse? Oh, man, she was pretty. You should have seen her in a pair of jeans. I'm like, really? That's the reason? That's how you chose? Oh, well, I picked him because he's got a good job. What happens if he gets laid off? I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, it says, do not become unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Are they a member of the Lord's church? No. I can probably change them. Okay. We don't think about the unintended consequence. Unintended consequence. Well, I thought I'd change him. He never goes to church. Kids get old enough to think and they say, well, Daddy doesn't have to go to church, so I ain't going to go to church. And when you chose him or her because they look like this in a pair of jeans or they had this job or they drove that kind of car, you didn't think, my children may go to hell. Oh, well, good night. I should have thought of that. You know, we don't think about the unintended consequences. David was told, choose your consequence. We do too. But we don't think often about the unintended consequences. As we continue the subject, what about failing to teach our children? We're still in Proverbs, and you probably know this proverb, but I'll read it again anyhow. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, note verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's pretty simple. It's a general truth. It's proverbial wisdom. If you will train and teach and admonish your children and the way they ought to go, as a general rule, they will remain faithful. You know, people don't think, well, I just figured it would all work out. I took them to church. I let them go to that Bible camp over there. I did this and that. But I didn't follow that when they lie down and when they rise up thing. You know, I didn't as I had every opportunity to teach them. We didn't have any kind of personal devotions. They never saw me reading the Bible. I never encouraged them to read the Bible. We didn't study at home. We just dusted off our Bible and brought it on Sunday and some Wednesdays if nothing else was going on. But you don't think about the consequences of failing to teach your children. If you don't train them in the way they should go, what are your expectations? As we think about the opposite of this verse, if you train them up in the way they should go, that doesn't mean just bring them on Sunday and Wednesday. If you train them up in the way they should go, they won't depart from it. If you don't train them up in the way they ought to go, they might. But we don't think about those consequences. See, we have choices. Do you turn off the TV and have a family devotional? Do you show up every time the doors are open at everything you can and participate in everything you can and show your children that the most important thing in life is their faith and their relationship with God and their fellowship with the church? If you fail to do so, we don't think about those unintended consequences. Let me tell you, grown people come to my office and cry and cry and cry over their adult children. They didn't think about the consequences when they were at those formidable ages where they could have been trained and taught. Spreading gossip. You know, we don't think about what are the unintended consequences. A whisper, we're told in Proverbs 16, verse 28, a whisper separates the best of friends. The idea was, if you are given to this spreading of gossip, you will destroy relationships. Nobody that ever heard a juicy piece of gossip and went and spread it around or told somebody thought, here I'm going to do, I'm going to destroy this friendship of 20 years. They never think about that, but it happens. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but it may have happened in your life. Maybe you had someone that spread some gossip about you and you're no longer friends anymore, just kind of destroyed the relationship. But that wasn't the intended consequence. They just thought about the immediate gratification. I got this juicy thing. I got to tell somebody. Reminds me of a joke. I don't tell a lot of jokes, but I'll tell this one real quick. There were three preachers, and they were going fishing. Have you heard this one? Okay. There were three preachers, and they were going fishing. And they were just fishing, and, you know, they got kind of to talking, you know, and sharing. And one of them said, you know, I haven't told anybody this, but I've got kind of a gambling problem. I don't know how it started, but I started going to the next county over and getting lottery tickets, and I just kind of got obsessed with it, and I'm doing it a lot. I just really kind of need to get it off my chest and tell somebody. It was quiet for a few minutes. And then the second preacher, he said, well, you know, I started drinking. So I didn't mean to, but I got kind of a drinking problem. I would go over to the next county over, and I would buy just a six-pack of beer, and I'd kind of drink one or two here and there. Before you know it, I'm going two counties over, and I'm getting vodka, and I'm glad I could tell somebody. Got quiet. The other two kind of looked at the third one like, hey, it's your turn. And he said, well, okay. I kind of got a problem with gossiping, and I can't wait to get out of this boat. Here's this idea of the things that we do having consequences. We think, well, hey, I just got to tell somebody. Well, there may be dire consequences. Forsaking the assembly. You know, we know we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is the manner of some. But do we ever think about the consequences? I remember vividly this person that I visited. She had come to the church, and it wasn't here, mind you. It was within the past 50 years and about within 500 miles or so. That'll narrow it down for you. And I went to visit her. She was sporadic in her attendance, but she had just quit. And so I went to see her. And I remember her saying something along the lines of, I don't know why, but I really don't feel close to the people there, and I don't feel close to God. And I said, a lot more tactful than this, but I said, basically, you don't feel close to the people there and you don't feel close to God because you go about two Sunday mornings a month at best. And she didn't think about the consequences where she would drift away. You know, the Bible warns us, Hebrews chapter 2, starting around verse 1, therefore we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard lest we drift away. And she drifted away. She didn't think about that being an unintended consequence. She just didn't feel close to the people down there. And she was indifferent about the service, but she didn't think about what it would mean to her soul to forsake the assembly. Once you start forsaking the assembly, it becomes easier and easier to do it in the future. You ever notice that? Now, miss one here, hey, lightning didn't strike me. Miss another one, nothing bad happened. Miss two or three, hey, I didn't lose my job or nothing. God's not paying attention. And before you know it, it's easy just to skip. And you can skip for any old reason once you started. I've seen it happen. Unintended consequence. What about failing to study? Failing to study your Bible. You know, we're told to study our Bible. In fact, we're told to be laborious. The New King James says, be diligent. Literally to labor, to show yourself approved. A workman who needs not be ashamed, but can rightly divide the word of truth. But we don't think about the consequences of failing to study. Here in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it talks about being able to, by reason of use, discern good from evil, right from wrong. How do I do that? I'm a Bible study. And so we get kind of in limbo land as to whether something's right or wrong, good or bad, when we don't study. And we don't think about the consequences like I mentioned. Okay, let me break it down like this. Yeah, can y'all help me with this verse? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of. Okay, so if you ain't got faith, how do you get some? By hearing the word of God, by reading, by studying, by immersing yourself in study and opportunities to learn and grow. So you want more faith? More study. If you're not studying like you ought, your faith is dissipating to a degree. And so we don't think about that being the result. I fall away, I drift away, I get weak in my faith, I have this trial, I have this circumstances. Before you know it, I fall away. Nobody thinks about falling away. And they don't think about all the things they do that led to that unintended consequence. Nobody intends to start out and be a Christian and think, well, I'll do this for a couple of months, a couple of years, and then I'll quit. Nobody ever thinks that's what they're going to do. Have you ever met somebody who says, I'd like to be a Christian for a couple of years, then I'm not going to do it no more? Nobody. But there's gobs of people that start and don't finish. Why? They don't think about their actions and their unintended consequences. That makes sense. All right. Now, this is where I want to spend the rest of our time. Foretold consequences. Now, sometimes there are natural consequences. I can choose to do whatever I want. I can choose to jump off the Empire State Building. But I can't choose the natural consequences that will occur when my face plows into the pavement. That's a natural consequence. And then some of my actions may have unintended consequences, but some of my choices have foretold consequences. Let's think about this. Parents do this all the time. If you touch that, I'm going to spank you. Guys, that is a foretold consequence. What do they usually do? Touch it. And then they get a spanking. As long as you carry through with your consequences. It's another lesson for another day, but parents, follow through with your consequences. Don't say, if you touch that, I'll spank you, and they touch it. You don't spank them. You need to make them receive the consequences for their actions, especially those when you foretold them the consequence. So we do this all the time if we're parents. Criminals appreciate this. Why do you think they run from the police? If they rob a bank and the police come up, what do? They run. Why? They know the foretold consequence. I'm going to jail. I just robbed a bank. Why do you think they hide? Why do you think they try and evade? Why do you think they run? They know the consequences. What happens in this country if you murder somebody? Well, you're gonna go to jail. All right. That's pretty simple. This is a biblical truth. Biblical truth. Adam and Eve, I believe, are the classic example of having foretold consequences. He said, you can eat from, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, you can eat from whatever tree you want to, but do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do that, you will surely die. Now, philosophers and religious scholars have argued how much they understood about what it meant to die, not seeing others who have died. But I think they understood enough about it, they didn't want to do it. And so here was the simple, simple choice. Do I take of that fruit? I already know what the consequence is. I'm going to die. Now, we know what they did, but we know they had a foretold consequence. Now, this is powerful, I believe. Will you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28 with me? Here God tells the people their foretold consequences for their faithfulness. Adam and Eve were a great example. Here's what's going to happen if you violate this simple command. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 with me. First, read the first couple of verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, literally tackle you. They will overpower you. They will knock you off your feet. These blessings will overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, he talks about those in specific. We won't look at those and exhaust those this morning. But what he's saying is, if you will do what I tell you, if you'll be obedient, if you'll submit to the commands, if you will keep yourself in the statutes of the Lord, I will bless you. I'll overtake you with blessings. And then he says, if we draw our attention to verse 15, very important word here, but But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and, same word, tackle you or overtake you or knock you off your feet. What did he say? Choose your consequence. Do what you're supposed to do, and I'll bless you. Do what you're not supposed to do, and I'll curse you. Real simple. And then he said, choice is yours. Choose this day who you'll serve. I've set before you both life, and this is in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I've set before you both life and death, good and evil. And then he says, therefore, choose life. It's your choice. But he foretold the consequences. You know, before I go there, foretold consequences. The Bible pretty much lays out repeatedly the foretold consequences. No one can ever say God was kind of vague about what would happen if I sinned. He really kind of beat around the bush on the topic. I'm not sure what will happen if I don't do what God said. In fact, the Bible just is clear. Foretold consequence. Do this and this will happen. Now, I want to think about foretold consequences and kind of close out with some of these thoughts relative to our obedience, relative to beginning the contract of the New Testament, Christian obligations, if you will. Do I have to? You ever said that? You ever heard your children say that? Do I have to? Well, the answer really is no, you don't have to, but there are consequences. Now, at the Williams house, if you don't do it, the consequence is almost always a spanking. But nonetheless, I want to think about that in regards to being a Christian, or maybe more along the lines of becoming a Christian. What about hearing the words of Christ? Do I have to hear the words of Christ? No, you really don't. But you can't change the foretold consequences. Now, Peter said he had the prophetic word confirmed, and then he appeals to the occasion when the booming voice of the Almighty came forth testifying of Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You remember the next two words? Hear him. Or if you have King James, it's three words. Hear ye him. Hear him. And John chapter 12 and verse 48, just after saying that Jesus didn't come to judge anybody, but on the contrary, he came to save them. He says in John 12 verse 48, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, you have that which will judge you. The words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. What's he saying? Man, you don't have to listen to a word I say. You can listen to it and build your house on the sand and never do anything about it if you want to. Or you can hear it and do it and build on the foundation of Christ. That's up to you. But the consequences are the same. We will all stand before the judgment bar of Christ, and you'll have to give an account for what you did based upon the words of Christ. Another consequence I think about, and I don't remember the verse. If my memory serves me, it's Luke 9, verse 26, but you'll have to double check me on that. But I remember the verse. Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes. You can be ashamed of his words. You can deny them. You can hear them and not do them. But there are consequences. You will be judged based upon them, whether you obey them or not, whether you heed them or not, whether you're willing to hear or not. Whether you, like those in Acts chapter 7 who stopped up their ears, decided they don't want to hear it or not, they're the same consequences. What about believing Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? Do I have to? No. No, you don't have to. You really don't. But there are some consequences, and they're clear, and they're foretold. It's John 8 and verse 24. Here's Jesus saying, if you do not believe that I'm he. Now, if you want to know what he means by he or he who, you can draw your attention to John chapter 4 when we have a woman at a well who says when the Christ, the Messiah, comes, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said, and again, I'm paraphrasing a bit, I am he. He who? He the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, that suffering servant of Isaiah 53. So he says in John 8, verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. Now you might say, Adam and Eve didn't really know what dying was. Well, do you know what dying in your sin is? It says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Die in your sins. Anybody want to do that? Raise your hand if you'd like to do that this morning. You know, no. So do I have to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? No, you don't have to. You certainly don't have to. But there are some foretold consequences. What about repent of my sins? Do I have to repent of my sins? Do I have to, when I come to Christ, pretty much change everything about my life? Do I have to stop doing these things and start doing these things? Do I have to put my will aside and do the will of God in my life? Do I have to do that? No, you don't. No. You can just come as you are and stay as you are. But there are some consequences. And they're foretold. Y'all remember Luke chapter 13 there? It's talking about this tower that fell, Siloam, and they're talking about the blood that was mingled with their sacrifices at the hands of Pilate. And the question that was asked of Jesus is, was it because of their sin, basically? Were they really bad sinners that this happened to him? And Jesus basically answers in verse 3, he says, no, I don't have anything to do with that. But if you do not repent, you will likewise perish. Now, was Jesus saying a tower was going to fall on them, or that Pilate was going to come find them and cut them up or something? No. He used that word perish in the same way he used it in John 3:16. Y'all remember that? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's kind of like Romans 6, verse 23. Wages of sin is death, gift of God, eternal life. You can perish, or you can have eternal life. What did he say? You don't have to repent. Don't change a thing about your life. Still shacking up with your partner? Go ahead, keep on shacking up. Don't change nothing. But don't be deceived about the consequences. The expectation and the desire of God is for you to change. Do you repent? He desires all men to repent. But if they won't, they'll perish. Don't be deceived. Don't think you can manipulate the consequences. You can choose whatever you want, but you're choosing a consequence, a foretold consequence. Well, do I have to confess Christ? Nah. You don't have to, but there are foretold consequences. Y'all remember Matthew chapter 10 here, verse 32 and 33? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Listen, but if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who's in heaven. What's he saying? You don't have to confess me before men, but there are some foretold consequences. You don't want to have anything to do with me in front of others? I won't have anything to do with you in eternity. What about be baptized? We talked about this last 2 weeks. Now people say, well, you talk about baptism all the time. And if I understand what you're saying, you're telling me I have to be baptized. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do not have to be baptized. But there are some foretold consequences if you don't. Mark 16, 15, 16. I think we looked at these verses a few times here lately. Mark chapter 16. They're to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. I mean, you don't have to be baptized with an understanding and a faith like we talked about last week. You don't have to be baptized and understand it's for the forgiveness of your sins. You don't have to have that circumcision of Christ. You don't have to do that. But there are some very clear, very obvious, and very stated consequences. No, I want us to go back, and I didn't ask you to mark it, so you may be at a disadvantage, but I want to go back to 2 Samuel for just a moment. Here was David. He was told, choose your consequences. And we said, you know, here's one choice, two choice, three choice. They don't sound very good. And they don't. But he makes a decision because he has to. And we too have to choose our consequences. Some have foretold consequences. Some have unintended, and some have natural consequences. But as we draw our attention back to 2 Samuel, what does he decide to do? It's interesting. He's given the choices. Now verse 14. And David said to Gad, the man of God who gave him this revelation. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. I don't know what I'm going to do. Which option would I pick? I don't know. But he says this. Please let us. Who sinned? David. Who was getting punished? Everybody. That's another lesson for another day, but nonetheless. All right. He says, please let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hands of a man. So the Lord sent a plague. Didn't know what to choose, but he said, you know what? I'm going to go with God on this one. I'm not going to leave it up to my enemies because they're merciless. I'm not going to leave it up to my enemies because they have no love for me. I'm not going to leave it up to my enemies because they have no gracious heart and benevolent love toward me, but God does. Yes, he'll carry out his punishment. But he'll do it with grace and favor and love. And he'll remember to be merciful. And so they got the plague. You know, as I think about this lesson and I think about the consequences of our choices, I think about God. I think about this statement here. Let it be at the Lord's discretion how I'm punished. Let me fall into the hands of a merciful God. Sure, he told us all the foretold consequences if we don't hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But he also told us all of the benefits and hope and relationship that come from choosing the right consequence, from choosing from a place of faith. God's merciful. You know, I think about that. God's merciful and gracious and kind. And like the Psalms remind us, like a father who pities his child, his mercies are great. And he's put our sins far from us. But you can make a choice this morning. You can make a choice to abandon the world and align yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ. You can say, I want to confess my understanding and faith of who Christ is. I want to confess him before men. I want to change my life. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. And you choose your consequence. You know, preaching funerals is tough. Don't know if you've ever had to do that. Probably not. But it's tough. And one of the things about it that's very difficult is when you're dealing with people that you are fairly certain they're not going to heaven. Now, you don't know. You're not judging them. But you can look at the fruits of their life and say, okay, I've had to do funerals for people that were basically the town drunk. I mean, the last place I was the preacher, one of our elders worked at the funeral home. So when they couldn't find somebody to be this guy's preacher, they called me and said, Joe, can you come down here and do a funeral? Sometimes I didn't get noticed. I said, we ain't got nobody. It's going to be in the morning. Can you do it? Sure, I'll do it. So I've done some funerals for people I never met, and they couldn't find a preacher that'd do it. Y'all get the picture? One of the things that I would say was, Mr. So-and-so went on to his eternal reward. Doesn't that sound nice? It does. But he went on to whatever his eternal reward was. Because we are rewarded for our choices. Our choices determine our circumstances and our consequences. And so what choice do you need to make this morning? Maybe it's something that's very public. Maybe it's confessing Christ and putting him on in baptism this morning. Maybe it's something not so public. Maybe it's something you're resolved to do or to change from your pew. Maybe it's a need that you have to confess a sin of a public nature or to come back to the church in a public way. Or maybe you need the prayers and encouragement of the church. I don't know. But I encourage you to make the right choice that bears the fruit of the consequences you want. And I encourage you to do that while we stand and sing together.